This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 2nd of February 2025. Now on with the show.
Hello from both WAG and Weissen. This morning is the weekly technical and general net on at 10:30 local on 146.750. That's VK6RLM and the All Star Hubs. Tomorrow night, the 3rd of February, is the next WAG meeting, 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start at the First Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall. That's number 12 Australia 2 Drive in Crawley for your GPSs. All the way down the end and sharp left before you hit something. There's plenty of time both before and after the meeting to grab a brew and have a chit-chat with your fellow hams. Tea, coffee and biscuits are available. The meeting is looking at things to do for 2025 and ways to get people interested in repeater projects and maintenance. We need to go and do some things at various sites throughout the year, and that could be your way into learning more about repeaters. Also, we're on the lookout for hams who might have topics that they can talk about at meetings. Mitch, VK6XB, has said he's got a talk, which we might do in April, on the topic of the DF network. The WAG website can be found at www.warg.org.au. The next weekly Weissen Net will be held from 8 p.m. local on both 3.600 plus or minus QRM and the linked All-Star Network, including VK6RLM in Perth, on 146.750. Last week, the net control was from Phil, VK6DEV, in Bunbury. Normally, Bob, VK6KW in Northern, is net control. Check in on Wednesday night to see who is net control for VK6WIE this week. The next meeting of Weissen Western Australia will not be tomorrow, that's WAG, but next week on Monday night, 7 for a 7:30 p.m. start at the First Midland Scout Hall, that's number 10, Helen Street in Bellevue. So, a quick recap. The Technical and General Net from 10:30 a.m. this morning, and the West Australian Repeater Group February meeting tomorrow night at Pelican Point. On Wednesday, the Weissen Net, 8 p.m. on the All-Star Network, VK6RLM in Perth, and 3.600 plus or minus QRM. The next Weissen meeting will be not tomorrow, Monday the following week, and that will be in Midland. All of this stuff is available on the socials. There's a Facebook page for West Australian Repeater Group. There's a Facebook page for Weissen, and there's a VK6.net Facebook page as well. If you're not on those and you are on Facebook, just use that little search bar up in the top left-hand corner and check them out. That's all from me at the moment. So it's 7-3s from VK6RRG, VK6WIE, and of course myself, Mark, VK6X-ray Lima Zulu. 7-3.
Hello everyone, we're back again. This is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's February bulletin to go to air. Firstly, though, an important announcement. Lunchtime meeting change of venue. Please listen carefully. The next lunchtime meeting for members and friends of the RAOTC in Perth on Tuesday, February the 11th, will be at a new venue, the High Wycombe Bar and Grill, 530 Calamunda Road, High Wycombe, starting at 11:30. There's adequate car parking, and there is good access via public transport. Full travel details are published on the RAOTC Club website under the heading Luncheons. A comprehensive, well-priced seniors menu is available in addition to the standard menu. Most regular attendees have been notified of this change, but lunch coordinator Phil, VK6ZKO, would appreciate it if all those planning to attend would email him at pbcasper@bigpond.com. I'll just spell that. That's Papa, Bravo, Charlie, Alpha, Sierra, Papa, Echo, Romeo, pbcasper@bigpond.com, so that he can advise the High Wycombe Bar and Grill of numbers attending. So once again, the February lunchtime meeting venue is now the High Wycombe Bar and Grill. This month, as well as the latest club news, I'm very pleased to introduce a new voice, that of John Ross, VK3MK, with an article about Voyager 1, a story that is truly out of this world. Next, I'll be telling two tales from the past and explaining how it's quite easy to write a short article for OTN. This will be followed by a brief reminder that everyone should plan ahead. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmissions, times, frequencies and modes can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au, or just search for RAOTC broadcasts in your favourite browser. Please note that the start time for the 10-metre broadcast from Mike VK8MA is now 0 hours UTC. Even if none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. If you do listen this way, though, some brief feedback would be appreciated. Now, some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris VK6JI will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz, starting at 8 a.m. Please note that this start time of 8 a.m. is an hour earlier than it used to be. Also at 8 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5. At 10 a.m. local time, the programme will be transmitted via the News West linked repeater system, simultaneously with a 40-metre transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. On Wednesday, February the 6th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 4:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C, following AR Newsline. On Sunday, February the 9th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 160-metre and the 80-metre broadcasts of the WIA News, both of which now start at 6 a.m, and again after the 40-metre broadcast, which now starts at 8 a.m. Just repeating those new start times, 80 metres at 6 a.m, 40 metres at 8 a.m, both conducted by Chris VK6JI. Tune in tomorrow for the February RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive VK6CSW.
Have you got your tickets in the Peel Amateur Radio Group's 2025 Mega Raffle yet? There are 9 prizes valued from $2,000. Details at www.parg.org.u. The annual Peel Amateur Radio Group Swap Meet will be held at the Mandura Bowling Club starting 9 a.m. on Saturday, 15th February. Door prizes valued from $200 each. This is the biggest annual amateur radio event south of the river. The mega raffle will be drawn at 12 noon. It is the biggest amateur radio raffle in Western Australia. You can go to the PARG website for details, www.parg.org.au. Again, www.parg.org.au.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West linked repeater network and HF relays.
Foundations of amateur radio. The other day I was sitting on the couch lounging about when I came up with an idea, and there and then I picked up a circuit board, soldered down 100 or so components and built a noise-cancelling gadget, all within about an hour. Right there, on my couch. Yeah, that didn't happen. Least of all, my soldering skills are not up to scratch, never mind the couch. I did, however, build a noise-cancelling circuit on my couch in about an hour. But no soldering iron was hurt and the room didn't smell of chicken afterwards. Instead, I used GNU Radio to put together a series of blocks that allow me to apply noise cancelling to a signal. How does this work? Well, imagine a signal mixed together with the negative version of that signal. Think of it as swapping positive and negative, if you like. If you mix two identical signals together, one of them inverted, you end up with nothing, because they cancel each other out. Where one is high, the other is opposite and low, and vice versa. Mix a high signal with a low signal, you end up halfway. If they're the same but opposite, halfway is zero. Hearing nothing is not helpful, but what if the two signals were slightly different? Let's say one is connected to a proper 10-meter antenna and the other is connected to an antenna that picks up local noise. We'll call the antenna on 10 meters the signal, and the local noise antenna the noise. If you mix these together, you end up with a signal and noise combined. But if you invert the noise signal, you can at least, theoretically, filter out the noise that's common to both antennas. Now, I did say theoretically, and that's because while it sounds simple, it's far from it. Unless you have a special radio, the two signals are not coming from the same device and won't really be identical where it matters. For example, let's call it the volume or gain of one might be higher than the other. One might arrive slightly later than the other if the coax isn't the same length or the electronics in both radios are different. There are other things too, but let's just stay with this for a moment. You could amplify or attenuate one or both signals to make them the same or similar levels. You could change the phase, think of it as the time when a signal starts, and synchronize the two signals in time manually. Of course, whilst you're doing this inside GNU Radio, the computer is doing some serious math, which takes time to make these changes, which introduces further delays you'll also need to account for. Building it was simple, testing it, much less so. After coming to grips with the USB port on my computer, which for reasons best known to the manufacturer, Apple, switches off ports that are in use, I managed to get two RTL SDR dongles connected and working. This involved removing GNU Radio, which was installed using a tool called Homebrew, then installing it instead using Radio Conda, twice, since the first time the installer failed with an error, actually three times because the failed installation left all manner of rubbish behind, so that needed to be removed. Then I had to disconnect my keyboard and trackpad, because for reasons only known to the manufacturer, yeah, the same one, they won't play nice if there's an RTL SDR dongle plugged into the USB-C hub. I finally got this running, which in turn involved figuring out what the GNU Radio device arguments look like for a locally connected dongle. In case you're wondering, it's RTL equals 0 for the first one and RTL equals 1 for the second. Clearly this project is living up to its name, Bold Yak. Now I can invert a signal, I can amplify and attenuate it, change the phase, shift the frequency, swap the I and Q, do a complex conjugate, and have a user interface that can change these settings as required. I'm going to ignore the hour of my life I'm not getting back to understand how variables, parameters, and user interface items hang together and how they interact. It's logical, but it takes a bit to wrap your head around it, and I'm a software developer, so I don't envy you if you're not. Anyway, I tuned to a local FM broadcast radio station and couldn't make any noise go away. I then discovered that my noise antenna was picking up the station just fine, so that didn't help. Then I swapped radios. Actually, I just swapped the 0 and the 1 in the device argument fields and tried again. In the process, I discovered how you can create a so-called hierarchical block in GNU Radio, and, to my delight, also discovered that there is one that can have a user interface. So I can make a standalone block that has a user interface that I can use in another project, which is how I intend Bold Yak to function. So, changing stations, I could finally hear noise, but still no reduction. Then I realized that I was using FM, not single sideband, so I started hunting for an SSB decoder, but had to abandon ship to go and do life. Overnight, I realised that if everything went to plan, the two FM signals should have cancelled each other out, making silence, which they didn't, despite my efforts. So, at this point, I have a thing that can alter noise and mix it with a signal for the purposes of noise reduction. That it doesn't work is potentially because I have not enough range in my adjustments, or too much range with not enough steps. Just as likely, it's because I'm missing some fundamental understanding somewhere. If you have any documentation I should read, please don't be shy. As life adventures go, I'm hooked, but it's not without shaving yaks, bold or otherwise. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo Lima.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur licence test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications? The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3pm until about 7pm on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go. And who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So, the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3pm until 7pm, and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5pm until 9pm, we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3pm every Tuesday above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7pm, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTube newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqrsnet@gmail.com. That is cqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Last week I gave an insight into the International QSL Bureau. Following on from that discussion, I thought I'd like to talk about electronic QSLing. So from last week, we know all about hard copy QSL cards. There is something magical about hard copy cards, and I hope they never die out. But I'm equally thankful for a new way of verifying contacts electronically. when you look at the cost of soliciting a card from a rarer entity in the old-fashioned way, i.e. posting a card to the station with sufficient funds for return postage, normally anywhere from $2 to $5, you could easily spend $10 Australian. Log of the World and EQSL are free in their basic forms, so you can see the attraction of using electronic means to confirm a QSO. How do electronic QSL cards work? There are various systems available with varying levels of security. The two most common electronic QSL services used for official verification of a contact, i.e. can be used for DX awards in place of a hard copy QSL card, as described in an earlier article on DXCC, are EQSL and Log of the World. EQSL is a volunteer service that does have a modest cost for all, but the most basic service. This service also provides an ability to have an actual graphic representation of a card. You can even get them to print cards out and send them if you want, or you can download the graphic file and print it yourself. The second service is called Log of the World, or LOTW for short. This is run by the ARRL, the American version of the WIA, and it's completely free worldwide. It doesn't have a graphic capability. It merely confirms contacts provided both sides of a contact have submitted logs to the service, and via an application on your PC allows you to tag each verified contact in your logbook as a confirmed contact. Both services require you to provide proof of having a license, and both have a means of authenticating your bona fides prior to use of the service as a fully fledged member of the service. The WIA accepts both EQSL and Log of the World. The ARRL only accepts Log of the World for DXCC purposes. Many hams, me included, do both EQSL and Log of the World. Some only do paper cards, some only EQSL, and some only LA2W, and some do nothing at all. It's a personal preference thing. There are other means of electronically acknowledging a contact that, whilst aren't valid for DX awards, are still very popular. These include Clublog, HRDLog, and QRZ.com. QRZ.com is very popular, as most hams use QRZ.com as a blog-style webpage that has become the de facto online international callbook, and which also includes an online logbook. Most good electronic logbooks will automatically send contact entries to 4 of the 5 common databases as you enter a contact into a logbook. Log of the World doesn't allow automated uploads of single contacts from any of the logbooks. Clublog stands out on its own a little, as it has several additional features that aren't available on the other databases. Many hams, me included, use Clublog as a backup log, so that if my logging PC crashes, I can at least download basic information from Clublog and rebuild my log on a new PC or hard drive. Clublog has a few additional features, including OQRS. This allows a user with a validated contact to request a QSL card either direct or via the bureau from someone without having to send out a card at first. I use this service because while I like getting cards, I don't want thousands of cards a year from the same countries. If someone wants a card direct from me but doesn't want to send me one, they can pay for the postage online and I just send them a card. The OQRS page can direct someone who wants a card in that way to my PayPal account for them to pay, and sends me an email asking me to send the card. As a side thing, if someone goes to the trouble of just sending me their card, I'll send them one back the same way. Not so easy for a rare DX station, though. There is an online DX league that you can configure however you like to compare how you are featuring against your peers, based on an annual or all-time scores of most countries worked, confirmed across single or multiple bands or modes. And you can check for your call sign in a DX station's log, so you aren't wasting on postage and green stamps for a contact the other station does not acknowledge. Because Clublog contacts confirmations cannot be used for DXCC awards, most rare DX stations or DX expeditions upload to Clublog either regularly or in real time, whereas they generally won't upload to eQSL or Log of the World for up to 6 months from a de-expedition. QRZ.com is popular because it already enjoys widespread support as a global online call book. It's extremely rare to work a station outside of Australia who doesn't have a page on QRZ.com. Many hams just use the logbook on their QRZ.com page as their own logbook, and the QRZ.com logbook also integrates with Log of the World. So, you have a huge choice of electronic call books around these days. HRD logbook, Log4OM, SwissLog, N1MM, and the list goes on. Most of them will send contact details to the various online logs, so which log should you send to? I'm not sure there is a best one, and everyone will have an opinion on what the best one is. Given the software and a logging program can do all of them, I find it easier to send entries to all of them than deal with emails every day asking me to submit my log on QRZ.com, etc. Setting a logbook up to do this is a one-time piece of effort, but once it's done, you don't need to focus on it again. Oh, thanks for listening. This has been Steve, AK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or other articles, they will be posted to my blog page at comtechradio.com.au. That's comtekradio, comtechradio.com.au, about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Good morning to listeners and fellow amateurs. This is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline once again. Today for the 2nd of February 2025. And today, first off, would like to thank Walter, VK6 Whiskey Juliet Hotel, and Alec, VK6ALK, for responding to my plaintiff request last week for some help with my computer. Thank you. Much appreciated. Today I'm following for you. I wanted from David, VK6 Papa Yankee November, looking for an Android tablet 6 or higher. It's an Android 6 or higher and has 1.5 GB of RAM. And if you can help with that, if you have such a device surplus to your requirements or need, please contact David. That's for a tablet, Android tablet 6 or higher, 1.5 GB of RAM. David can be contacted on his mobile phone on 0450-031-452. Again, that's 0450-031-452. And that's David, VK6 Papa Yankee November, or 6084 in the Austravel lineup. And that's about it for this week. If anyone has got anything for next week, please contact me. The email address, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and I'm tripping over my tongue as I speak, so I better go. 7-3.
Hi there, it's Clinton, vk6fcrc, back with you, and did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@newswestweeklypodcast-kilo-zulu-7. Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.